All right, good morning. I will be before you today. We will be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In the early 1990s, there was a popular phrase that swept through the world: be like Mike. Michael Jordan had a Gatorade commercial that started from the famous phrase, "Be like Mike." This was great for Michael because he became a global sports icon. And it boosts the Gatorade's revenue. Everybody wanted to be like Michael. I remember this in this era, 1990s. I remember I was a teenager at this time, and I remember everyone watching the Bulls play basketball, and I remember how everyone talked about Michael Jordan and how everybody wanted to be like Michael. Everybody wanted to play basketball. Everybody wanted to be great like Michael Jordan. And this Gatorade commercial had a catchy tune, and everyone picked up on it, and everyone would want to dress like him. Everyone wanted to play like him. You had kids on the basketball court, girls and boys practicing all the time, trying to be like Mike. They wanted to be like Mike because all of the people wanting to be like Mike, this made people want to drink the Gatorade because they were like, Michael's drinking Gatorade, I'm gonna drink Gatorade. Michael went to college, I'm gonna go to college. Michael practiced a lot, I'm gonna practice a lot. Everything that Michael did, everyone wanted to do because they wanted to be like him. Over time, this died down. And now you don't hear a lot about Michael Jordan. You don't hear people talking about trying to be like him. You don't see the commercial of Gatorade, Be Like Mike. It's kind of died down. There are other players, other sports players that have kind of taken that spot. But I'd like to talk to you about a person who we should all really want to be like. This person will not fade away. He will not disappoint us. He lived a perfect life that no one else has done. He came to earth to show us the way. He cleansed us from our sins. His name is Jesus. Interestingly enough, there was another phrase that was sweeping through the world during the 1990s, and it was interesting because it was WWJD. What would Jesus do? In this phrase, the question that serves as a reminder for Christians to make a decision, live their lives in a way that reflected the teaching of Jesus Christ, emphasizing love, kindness, and selflessness. Originating from a 1896 novel by Charles Sheldon, the concept gained widespread popularity in the 1990s through the WWJD bracelets being worn by millions of people. The core idea was to consider how would Jesus act in any given situation, prompting people to act with compassion and to live out their faith through their actions. I remember this phase as well. I remember the bracelets. And you still hear people talk about that from time to time, but this too was also a phase. You don't hear it a lot. It sometimes comes around, but not a lot. It's definitely not something that all Christians know about now or even talk about. In Philippians 2, 1:11, we're going to learn about what it's like to be like-minded with Jesus. I'm going to read from Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, becoming one in spirit, one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God, equally with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, Paul talks with the Philippians about what that looks like. What does it mean to be like-minded, to have the same love and being in one spirit with Jesus? First, I'd like to talk to you about what he gave up. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 8, it says, who, being in the very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself. So he came down in a human form as a man. He let go of his privileges, his glory, his deity to become man. He was obedient to death, death even on a cross. He came to be served. So he let go of some things that most people would think he would want to hold on, but he came down to be a servant. He came down to show us a way. He set aside his glory. He set aside his deity. He set aside his privilege. Now, I like to talk a little bit about privilege because we hear that word a lot nowadays, people's privileges and people's privileges. But God had the ultimate privilege, and he set it aside. And he was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to death. He didn't use his godship to make his life easy. He went to the cross for us. He had a death that no one would want to take. Let's talk a little bit about the crucifixion. Crucifixion was mostly used for slaves, disgraced soldiers. It was a shameful death. It was not a death that people would choose to do. But Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. He gave up his right to be. His glory, his deity. He came to be on this earth to serve us, to show us the way. And even though he put aside his glory for his good, he had a lot of attributes to show and to share with the world, things that he wanted us to see and how we could live. Point two. Let's talk about the attributes. In Philippians 2:1, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness, compassion, then make joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love and being in one spirit and in one mind. That's 1 and 2. Encouragement. I think of encouragement. I think about the encouragement that I feel that I get from Jesus. In John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you so that In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcame the world. I have overcome the world. Not we have overcome the world, but Jesus has overcome the world. So through him overcoming the world, he has the peace and the encouragement that we need. He can give us that encouragement to help us move through those tribulations because it says, in the world, you will have tribulations. In the world, you will have problems. We're not going to have a life easy in this world. Things are going to come up and things are going to get difficult for us. Things are going to be hard for us. He didn't say that being a Christian was going to be easy going and that everything was going to be good. He said the opposite. He said, there will be tribulations. You will have tribulations, but take heart, take courage. Because he has overcome the world. He comes to give us encouragement, to let us know that we can get through it. And that's why, as believers, we need to encourage one another because we are here to let people know that God is with us. God is walking this path with us. He walked it already to show us that we can do this, and he's still with us. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. So Jesus is saying, I am here. I am here to support you, to give you encouragement, but you have to follow him. You have to follow the direction that he's going. Comfort from his love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the man, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be comforted, so that we may comfort those who are in any affliction with comfort, which we ourselves are comforted by God. So God comforts us so that we can comfort others. Jesus is there comforting us so that we can comfort others. So everything that he pours into us is not so that we can hold on to it, it's so that we can pour it out to the world, to the other people. Compassion. Luke 7, 13 through 15. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion on her and he said, do not weep. And he came up and touched the coffin and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Jesus has compassion. This world needs compassion. There's a lot of people who need compassion. And if we are following Jesus, we should be showing that compassion. In biblical terms, compassion is empathetic understanding and feeling for one another's suffering that moves to action, while tenderness is a deeply rooted, sensitive deposit, disposition that manifests as kindness and gentleness. And a ready spirit to help, while compassion emphasizes the emotion of pity that spurs help. Tenderness described the internal state of being soft-hearted and response to suffering. Tenderness is the character that leads to compassion, which compassion is the action. So tenderness and compassion go hand in hand. Jesus is an example of both. Showing deep compassion as he suffers with humanity and demonstrating tenderness in his actions and his nature. When we are in this world and we're in our relationships, there is a compassion we should be showing to one another. There is a tenderness that we should be showing to one another. We should be drawing people. People should be asking, why are you so nice to me? In the song that we listened to earlier, it talked about when someone curses me, I bless them. When someone's mean to me, I'm nice to them. Like, those are the things that Jesus wanted us to do. He didn't want us to strike people down and not be nice and not be kind. He wanted us to be kind. Now, that doesn't mean that we accept the sin. Let me be clear on that. That doesn't mean that we accept the sin. Sin is sin. And he doesn't like sin. Jesus doesn't like sin. Sin is against his nature. But how you go about loving people and talking to people and encouraging people and helping people is what we need to focus on. Don't accept the sin, but we need to love and be tender and be compassionate and encourage people to move out of that sin, to follow Jesus. This world needs to know that there is a compassionate God, that there's a tender God, that there's an encouraging God, not a God who's just coming to strike you down. He has come so that we all may be saved. He died on the cross so that we all may have life again with him. But in order for that to happen, the people who are serving him, the people who are living that life, have to show that compassion, have to show that love. We are Jesus's hands and feet on this earth. And if we are not compassionate, if we are not loving, if we are not tender, if we are not encouraging, then where are they going to see it from? Not the world, because the world is selfish. The world is about themselves. So we need to think about, how can I show Christ? How can I be like Jesus? Now, there are a few things that we talked about in the Philippians 2, are some things that you shouldn't do. There are some behaviors that are not like Jesus. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Behaviors that are not like Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others. That's a big one. Because in this world right now, people talk a lot about self. It's about what they want, it's about how they feel, it's about what they need to get out of life. What Me, it's me, it's me, it's me. But those are the behaviors that Jesus saying, no, that's not who I want you to be. The behavior is selfish ambition, looking out for your own self-interest, vain conceit. Being selfish and thinking of yourself and what you can get out of any situation is not what God or Jesus has called us to do. He's called us to think higher of others than ourselves. And honestly, that's not easy. That's why you need Jesus. You need Jesus to help you with that. You need the Holy Spirit to help you with that. I love looking up definitions, and I looked up the definition for selfish ambition. It is intense, self-centered, drives for success, power, wealth, or fame. Including the well-being of others, excluding the well-being of others and one's spiritual state. It involves placing one's own desires above everybody else. I think about that as in the world, in the workplace. You see a lot of that, people kind of climbing over people to get to the next ladder, to the next place. And never thinking really about what that does to another person. It's usually always about them. You're thinking about your personal gain. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? If your thought process is always, what can I get out of this? How is this going to benefit me? Then you are not following Jesus. Jesus is not asking you to think about yourself and what you're going to get out of it. He didn't think about what he was getting out of it when he went to the cross. He didn't think about what he was going to get out of it when he gave up his deity to come to the earth and to walk as man. He was tempted just like us. He was beat. He didn't give that up. He didn't say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm gonna be done with this. This is too much. No, he didn't. He thought of us. He thought of us and not of just himself. We need to think of others higher than ourselves. We need to prioritize others, not prioritize our personal gain. What am I going to get out of it? If you're thinking, what am I going to get out of it? You're not thinking right. We should not be using people as a means to an end or changing the truth to make it look good for you. We need to focus on being humble and what will help other people. It's not about us. It's never about us. It's always about Jesus and how we can help people get closer to them. And if we're dragging people down because we're thinking about ourselves, then they're not going to get closer to Jesus. And that's the whole point, is bringing people closer to Jesus. And so if we're not like-minded, if we're not being like Jesus, how are we going to bring people to Jesus? That is our goal, is to bring people to Jesus. And these behaviors of being selfish and about ourselves is not going to do that. Our big idea. Model Jesus's behaviors. Model Jesus's behaviors. We talked about, I want to be like Mike. And when people wanted to be like Mike, they modeled his behaviors. They went to the park, they went to the gym, and they played basketball. You see people doing the basketball exercises. You've seen people buying the Michael Jordan clothes. You've seen people doing all of those things because they wanted to be like Mike. What are the things that we need to do to be like Jesus? We need to show compassion. We need to show love. We need to show forgiveness. Our relationships around us should show that we are like-minded with Jesus, not the world, not a coworker, not a spouse, not a friend, no politicians, but Jesus. Jesus is who we should be like.
Amen.
Jesus is who we should want to be like. We should be like Jesus, not like Mike, not like anything else, but Jesus. Our relationships around us need to be showing that we are like Jesus. Now, we have seen that phrases can be swept through generations and forgotten. This is not something that should be a phrase, a fad, something that should be quickly forgotten, but this needs to be a habit. This needs to be a lifestyle. Model Jesus's behaviors. Our relationships around us should show that we are like-minded with Jesus. Are your behaviors like Jesus or the world? Who do you identify with?